Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin meetups. In this episode, Reed and Rev chat with GC and James from the Jersey City Bitcoin Meetup.
All right, welcome to Local Bitcoiners. I'm Rev Hodel. I'm here with Reed. And today we have James and GC from the Jersey City Meetup. We're looking at a pretty cool podcast tonight. We're going to talk about a lot, but I'm going to start off by going over the South Bend, Indiana meetup, which is the meetup that I run. We run that meetup the first Thursday of every month at Lang Lab. This next one is on March 4th, Thursday, March 4th, at 6:30 PM. And in the last recording we did, I talked about the February meetup, and that meetup was a bear market meetup. It definitely had bear market vibes. We had five people come, and one guy showed up just to buy a Bitcoin miner for me. I showed him how to use the Bitcoin miner. I did a little demo. Everyone got to see how that thing worked as a space heater. He grabbed that Bitcoin miner, and off he went. And so I was just left with four of us in total. The Bitcoin account, who is my co-organizer of the meetup, was unable to attend, so it was just me and a couple other guys. And there was a new person at the meetup who hadn't been messing with Bitcoin at all before. And so it was a pretty good example of like how to navigate, not necessarily orange pilling somebody, but introducing them to Bitcoin as a concept in general. And this person happened to come at it with, she seemed to have like this aptitude towards natural systems and farming and stuff, which was perfect for me since I do homesteading. And so I was able to paint Bitcoin through this lens of permaculture. And it seemed like, you know, she left with a pretty high interest in learning more. Reed, how did your, or I guess, what's the story with your meetup?
Cool. So as I talked about last episode, so I run the Western Mass Bitcoin meetup. So I'll talk about our January meetup for a minute. So we run a Socratic seminar format. And so basically what I do is kind of hop from topic to topic. I try to keep it to like one slide per topic, but sometimes it goes more. And one of the reasons why I do that is because we've got people of kind of all different, let's say, Bitcoin experience levels, who look at Bitcoin almost like you were saying. Like there's so many different lenses to look at Bitcoin through, right? That I like to be able to kind of hit it from different angles. And instead of getting locked in on one topic every month, this kind of lets me sort of hop around to maybe some beginner topics. We hit some news topics. I of course, you know, put together the slides, so I bring a little bit of my own flavor. So I tend to talk about like mining a lot more than maybe some other people are interested in, especially up here in Massachusetts, where we've got like 36 cent a kilowatt hour electricity, which is not super conducive to mining, but I was able to do a little bit of a demo of the Datum gateway that I have set up on my, my Umbral node. So, definitely a little bit of bear market vibes. Mostly just like, you know, I think we did have one new person come, and I think she's coming back this time. So hopefully we got a new regular. So, GC, James, you guys want to talk about your meetup for a little bit?
Yeah, what's up, guys? This is GC from JC, Jersey City Bitcoin Meetup, and I'm really happy to be on the show. I think that the one thing the world needs more than anything else are more Bitcoin podcasts. I'm here for it. I'm really excited, and I'm just very grateful to be on the program and talk about Jersey City. So I can talk a little bit about how our meetup went last time, but I really just wanted to mention that we have two a month, the second and third Thursday of the month, and we'll post our meetup group and our website so you guys can find us at jerseycitybitcoin.com. But our next one's going to be the 12th of February, which you might miss if this comes out tomorrow, and the 19th of February is going to be our Socratic style one. So I'll pass it to James.
Yeah, thanks. So James here from the Jersey City Bitcoin Meetup. Thank you, Reed and Rev, for having us on. It's a pleasure. As GC said, our meetup, we do two to a month. We started about 3 or 4 years ago, right after COVID, doing just the social at the bar kind of thing. And there was like a strong appetite for educational stuff. And hurdle for us is in our area, space is a little expensive and bars generally don't, you know, may not want that to, you know, to rent a room and have like a television and do demos and that kind of thing. So it's been a long effort up until this point. GC really led the charge on finding a space, and we were able to find something that's economic. And just based off of the needs and wants kind of our community, we were able to start getting into educational Socratic seminar type stuff. So it's really awesome and exciting to get up into this point. And you know, we're excited to continue growing and helping out the community.
So how many Socratic seminar format ones have you done?
So we're on to next week will be our fourth. So we really just started. But like anything else, it takes talking about it over beers for a couple of years sometimes for it to formulate. So if anyone out there is a little bit downtrodden or you've been trying to start it for a while, don't worry, we're right there with you. And you kind of just have to start before you're ready. I could talk about a lot of best practices there, but I really like the educational format.
So yeah break down. Oh, go ahead, James.
Sorry, I was just saying, I can't tell you how many times we were, you know, a few drinks down the hatch, and getting into whatever the flavor of the week is in Bitcoin, and being like, oh man, like I wish we had a better format to like get into the nitty gritty of it. And so we're finally here.
Yeah. So what is the Socratic seminar format anyways? What do you guys do for that?
Yeah. So I will not beat around the bush. I completely ripped off of Reed's format. I downloaded it off the site and I kind of modified it for our own. We have our own logo. We have our own best practices. I think that it's really great for anyone out there doing a meetup. Is the first couple of slides is just to go over your general guidelines for the club, your rules, you know, scammers, we will not solicit, all of the best practices. And then we kind of go into the fun stuff. I like to kick it off with a little bit of macro, a little bit of Bitcoin price just to draw people in, because let's be honest, everyone wants to talk about it. And then we go into like Bitcoin news, a podcast of the month, the Bitcoin meme of the month. And then we'll do more of a demo or workshop style thing at the end is how we've been formatting it.
Yeah, I think one of the things that drew me to it, so I had been to a couple of BitDevs. And so BitDevs, they all seem to follow the Socratic seminar format. And a couple of things that drew me to it. One, you know, I had done a couple of the formats where you just kind of stand up there and you're like, okay, I'm going to talk about this topic for like 30 minutes. Those are really hard to prepare for. And so doing a Socratic seminar, it makes it a lot easier to just kind of break it up. And also it's like the whole point of a Socratic seminar is it's not a person talking at you, right? It's a conversation in the room. So I might introduce the topic or something, but then it's like, all right, like, what do you guys think? Like, let's talk about this. And so it gets people to engage, right? Instead of just kind of sitting back and listening. And I try to even call on some of the new people, or maybe not like the new people, but like the new people that I've gotten to know a little bit, and I'll just try to like draw them into the conversation a little bit. I think we've been doing the Socratic seminar for a little over a year, I think. So it's been going pretty well.
Yeah, that was my first meetup too, going into New York for BitDevs. And I really enjoyed those, but it's kind of a pain, even from Jersey City where we are, to get into New York, at least for me, it's kind of a whole schlep. And I also just kind of thought, like, I mean, I'm personally a developer, but even still at a BitDevs, it's way up here, right? And so that's kind of a main reason, you know, why I wanted to start a meetup, is to kind of bridge that gap or have something right kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I want to emphasize that the schlep, as James called it, is completely our differentiator. A lot of Central Jersey, South Jersey Bitcoiners, we get people drive an hour plus to our meetup because that last leg just over the river into the city is going to be another 45 minutes. It's actually insane. Oh, wow. So, yeah, it's kind of crazy. Parking is a mess. So, and just to rewind it back a little bit, I owe James everything because after the 2022 Bitcoin Miami, I was so inspired by meeting Bitcoiners IRL that I was like, I wonder if Jersey City has one. And lo and behold, he had just posted on Reddit, hey, come meet up for our third ever meetup, or it was something crazy like that. And now we're over 100 members in the Telegram, and we're getting 20 plus consistent, especially between, you know, the two different meetups that we have each month. It's easily over 20.
Tell me that. So what's the journey been like? You guys have been doing it for a while. How did you get started? What was that like? And what was the process as you grew? Now it sounds like you're doing two meetups a month, which is pretty awesome. How did you end up there?
Yeah. So right after COVID, I've been interested in Bitcoin for a long time. Never really had many Bitcoin friends, a few here and there. But through that COVID lockup, which sucked, but I was just kind of like talking about Bitcoin constantly to my wife. And my wife was like, okay, this is great. You have a passion. I get it. But you need to go out and find other people to connect with. So that inspired me to start the meetup, but it wasn't like a direct route. I'll say I made a Twitter and I started playing around with the idea. And there's another person. She doesn't come to the meetup anymore, but her and her husband, I won't say her name because whatever, but she reached out to me on the Twitter account in Jersey City Bitcoin. And she was like, hey, do you want to start doing meetups locally? And that was kind of the push, I guess, I needed to have the first one. It's probably just me, her, and her husband. And then we started posting on meetup.com and Reddit, which I've kind of fallen off with just because it wasn't a great place to connect. But GC found me through there, so that's fine. But and then slowly over the years on Meetup, initially we were on Meetup, or maybe it was Eventbrite. I think you have to pay for Meetup, so that's why I was hesitant to do that. But yeah, just through that, slowly built up. We first started at one bar, and then we came to realize that being close to a train in our area, a lot of people don't have cars, was a really big thing. So we moved it over to Zeppelin Hall Beer Garden. It's a huge beer garden. Another thing is, like, the first place we had it at, they wanted you to get a table and they wanted you to have one tab and they didn't want any splitting. And that was like a big issue, right? Like, it's so for the first couple of meetups, I always was like biting the bullet of a few people kind of dipped and I had to pay for their drinks. I was like, whatever. But we've gotten all those things figured out. And I want to shout out, I'll just say the first initial of her name, Kay. You know who you are. You inspired me to start the meetup. So, and then since then, we've really kind of embraced the decentralized community format. So, and what's great about that, I was listening to your first part podcast, and I agreed with a lot of the points you were making. You know, life happens. People want to take vacations. Sometimes it's just cold out and maybe you don't want to go outside, right? So I think it's important, and I would press for anyone who's interested or active in a meetup to embrace that decentralized model, just like Bitcoin itself, right? So you, one day you might move away, you might want to buy a house and have kids and whatever, and you want to know that that community will outlive you. So having a partner like GC has been I can't say how much it's done for our community. It's really taken us to the next level. He's solely responsible for the Socratic seminar part of it. For years, literally just like, oh, you know, that would be nice to have. But if we rented a space, that would be so much money. And it just kind of stopped there. And GC kind of bridged that gap. So I can't say enough good things about a decentralized leadership.
Yeah. And just having it the second Thursday of the month, every month, we don't even have to show up anymore. We've created something we can't stop. It's like Bitcoin, you know, people will just show up anyway because they know everyone else is going to be there. And so that's really how you build a lasting movement, is years of just, hey, we're going to meet up same time, same place,
Consistency.
Yeah, I know some meetups in New York, which are a little more at, I don't know what the right word is, but just like different on different dates. And I think it's been a really good thing for our community to just have it same day every month.
So GC, how did you get into the fold as far as taking more of a organizational role or leadership role? Did you just start off going to the meetup and then you're like, dude, I like this so much. I wanted, what can I do more? How did that go?
Yeah, I guess that was kind of it. And I think it's kind of like when one person, when one of the founders and their husband stopped showing up and it was just James going every time, he missed, you know, you miss a couple, you can't go every single time. And I think, James, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was my idea. I didn't even know this was a thing other meetups did, but to hold it at the same time at the same place. And I would go and maybe one other person would show up. And it just, that's kind of how I contributed, I think, most of the club is just being there consistently. And then, yeah, the educational thing we've just been trying to do for so long. Reed and Rev, when we went to Nashville last year, I was just so inspired by all of the other Bitcoin meetup organizers, how incredible, how many people show up, how large of an organization they have and everything they've accomplished. And I was just like, we just drink, you know, like I was, that was the moment for me where I had to step up my game, I think.
Yeah, I can tell you, when I knew I had a partner in crime, so to speak, is like when GC would be getting there early, locking down the first table at the bar, because another thing was like people would come, they'd show up. And another thing is like he'd come with the signage. He got signs printed, Jersey City Bitcoin. We're like taking over the bar. So people would come and they would like shoot the message to Telegram, hey, I don't know where you guys are. Actually, a little funny side story. There's a group of swingers that meet at the same bar we do, and they put this flower on the table and it's orange. Yeah. So sometimes people come up to them and ask them if they're the Bitcoin meetup, which is kind of hilarious. But but yeah, that's when I knew, you know, because I would talk to people like, hey, maybe I want to do educational stuff. And it kind of just stopped there. And GC kind of, you know, took the ball and ran with it. So, you know, if you go to a meetup right now and you just kind of attend it, and you think you want to take the next step, I would encourage you to, you know, reach out to the organizers, ask them what you can do. What's nice about it is it's like, it doesn't fall all on me. It doesn't fall all on GC. It's a shared responsibility, you know, to build this community. And so it can be overwhelming sometimes when you own something, you know, end to end. But you know, when you have that support, it makes it a lot easier. And you know, there's a lot to benefit. Like I remember when we were first doing the Socratic seminars, a big idea for me in my head was like, this is a great way to elevate, you know, people in our community. You might know something, you might be very knowledgeable on a topic. A common theme I noticed with a lot of people is they want to work in Bitcoin, right? They don't have a job in Bitcoin, but they want to work in it. And so I think that this is a really good stepping stone to that. So.
Yeah, I think like, well, you had something, go ahead, Reed.
I wanted to ask, so one of the things, so we also started, you know, just in bars and stuff like that. And I think that's pretty common. And finding a location when you just need to meet at a bar is like, you know, it's maybe like a little bit of work. Like you said, we hopped around from a few bars to try to find, you know, oh, hey, this one's a little bit better. They got a better room for us and stuff like that. But yeah, as soon as you graduate, as soon as you decide that you want to kind of step up your game and start putting something on a screen and doing more educational stuff, the complexity like of finding a place that you like don't have to pay for or that is like not prohibitively expensive, that's like a just a big bar. And that held us back for a couple of years until we finally were like, we had a meetup member come and they offered their like little print shop, and we like kind of set up a bunch of chairs in there and stuff like that, and that worked for a little while. So I'm just wondering what your experience was like trying to find a location and how you guys got over those hurdles.
So miserable. Can I tell you that was the number one barrier to entry for us too? And I think going to Nashville and meeting up all the other organizers and hearing them talk about it definitely helped. I think that, James, maybe on like the fifth ever Jersey City Bitcoin Meetup, we were already brainstorming venues and it just nothing ever came of it. And I think it's a combination of being afraid to pay for a place, that financial commitment. But two, it is finding the right spot. And obviously, if you have Bitcoiners with a place that's like a classroom setting, that's optimal. What worked out for us, so we're actually located in this place called the Barrow Mansion. So rewind really quickly. We were trying to go to a WeWork. We were trying to find, you know, rent a space in all of these places that were like $200 an hour, especially in the Jersey City, New York area. Everything was incredibly expensive. And I lived next to this clubhouse, and it was built in the 1830s. I think it was finished in 1837. So pre-Civil War, like huge Roman columns in the front of it. Absolutely tremendous clubhouse. I would go there for Buddhist meditations a couple of times. And I was just like, this place would be really cool for our meetup. And I just never took that next step. And then all I did was I went on the website and I emailed them. They got back to us and we pay about $50 an hour. So $100 for the month, which is nothing compared to everything else. So I think that maybe if you're looking on those sites that have classrooms, try to avoid that. Try to do what you know in the community. Mm. You know, if you really know your local area, start there versus going straight to the places that are advertising. Because we got a really great rate because there's not a lot of people that host there.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, Rev, I think you made the point last time, right now, that they've got all these BTC maps and stuff like that where people might be accepting Bitcoin now. You know, that's a great place to start, right? If you're looking for a place, hey, if there's a place that accepts Bitcoin, they're probably going to be more likely to be able to have you on it as a host.
Yeah, this place doesn't accept Bitcoin. It's like a historic mansion, and they even do like AA meetings in the basement. But you know, it seems like, you know, they need the income. They need someone to rent space. We need a space to rent. The rates are almost laughable. So it's nice to have someone who doesn't quote you an astronomically high price. Cause like, as GC was saying, we were looking at these co-working places. And at first the rates weren't like crazy, but then we started getting into the details of like, all right, what if we have like 15 or 20 people there? And we quickly realized like this isn't going to work.
And one other thing too, don't let a place not having a screen stop you. I got this projector off of Amazon for $70. Incredibly crisp. Incredibly crisp. Our place has table and chairs already. What else do you need? It's cozy there. So that's another really great best practice too. You know, just try to be scrappy.
And so, yeah, these venues and everything, they're totally dictated by what's available, the community that you have access to. And like, as you saw at Nashville, there's a whole swath of different intentions for what people are looking to get out of when they start a Bitcoin meetup. And so, James, for you, when you got started, what were you really looking for? Did you just want to talk to Bitcoiners? Did you want to get a Bitcoin job? What was your intention when you started the meetup?
Yeah, really just to connect with other Bitcoiners, to have Bitcoin friends, to meet other people who share, you know, a passion, but it's really like so much more than that. Sometimes when I'm telling normies or my wife or whatever, who may not understand, like, well, why are you so gung-ho about hanging out with Bitcoiners? It's kind of like meeting someone who likes the same sports team or something, right? We share, there's going to be so much common, like, shared values. Like, if you could visualize like a Venn diagram or whatever, with the average Bitcoiner, I just know there's going to be much more overlap. We're probably going to, you know, have a lower time preference. You know, Bitcoiners tend to care about their health. They tend to care less about short-term results and more about kind of the long-term. You know, proof of work is something that commonly is said, you know, in this community. But, you know, I find that Bitcoiners really embrace and embody that spirit. And it's just nice when you meet another Bitcoiner, you know you're going to have all this shared overlap of values and that kind of thing. So that's really what inspired me to do it. Now, since then, I was a developer at the time. Right after COVID, I took a coding bootcamp. I ran full speed ahead into development, and I was able to land my first job, which was for a big food company making online ordering apps for convenience stores, which was cool. It was a good first experience. But, you know, over time, seeing people build awesome stuff on Bitcoin, I wanted to get into that. And since then, I have been able to land a gig. Someone literally just reached out on Twitter and said, hey, I'm looking for a Bitcoin developer for this Lightning thing I'm building. And that's how I got started with him. So it's actually amazing. I was looking for jobs at the time. And I don't know if anyone out there listening is doing that. I feel for you because like LinkedIn sucks. But it just kind of fell into my lap. Someone reached out on Twitter and gave me, you know, a Bitcoin job. So that's just kind of another reason to, if you're kind of on the fence about starting a Bitcoin meetup, and, you know, having a Bitcoin job sounds cool, I would encourage you to go for it.
And so it started off as you kind of just looking to meet like-minded people, and you didn't necessarily land your Bitcoin job through the meetup. But I'm curious if now that the meetup's been going on, you said it's so much more than that. Like, what has it become? The regulars, have they started businesses together? Have they started cooperating? Are there any cool stories that you guys have from that angle?
Yeah, I mean, for me, once I came back from Bitcoin Miami and I really was inspired to join meetup, meet like-minded Bitcoiners, like what James said, I quickly realized after a few of the sessions, listening to some of the most incredible and intelligent people that I've ever met in my life, that this really, I did like a flashback. This really was like seventh grade US history or European history, where I was thinking of Bitcoin meetups as like the new age enlightenment salons. I don't know if you guys know anything about those, like how there would be diplomats like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson who would go to France and they would sit in and discuss enlightenment ideas, and a bunch of people just sitting around drinking, discussing philosophy, literature, art, science, politics. And those small meetups really played such a huge part in the whole enlightenment growth and development of these ideas, of people just having these Socratic seminars, debating and talking and networking and growing. And that's what we're doing here. We have, you know, there's been so many connections that I've made personally. I've met some incredible people within the industry, and I just love growing and building. And another thing for me, this really just makes Bitcoin feel real, right? You almost feel like a crazy person when you're reading about it or listening and watching on YouTube videos. Maybe it was just because it was COVID, but this was really going to a meetup in person at the turning point of coming out of the pandemic really just made Bitcoin feel so real to me. And people don't understand how much of a paradigm shift Bitcoin really is. So like we were talking about talking to normies, it really just doesn't sync with them. But when you're face to face talking to somebody who gets it, that is just such an incredible feeling that nothing else can replicate. There's tons of different perspectives, right? We're all listening to the same 50 influencers and going to a Bitcoin meetup and meeting 20 new people who each have their own different perspective. And they're also incredibly intelligent. And you realize what's out there. It just opens your perspective. And it's just such a game changer. And of course, there's the cliche of having a third space and really just having a place outside of work and home that you can go and meet and relax. But yeah, I could pop off more, but I'm just very passionate.
Yeah, to build on that for a second, I very much agree with like the third space. I'm a bit of a homebody. I work from home, and so after, you know, a day or a week of developing, sometimes you know the last thing I want to do is go to the bar. When I was younger and single, maybe more than maybe, right? I was there, but But these days, I really just don't have a strong desire to like go out and go to the bar. If I'm going out with my wife, that's one thing. If I'm meeting a friend, that's another thing. But I just don't have that desire. But it's just completely different to like go meet up with Bitcoiners. And one just like little anecdotal thing to build on what GC was saying is like recently a lot of our meetups, you might be mistaken that it's like an AI meetup, right? Just because that's like the flavor of the week. But another interesting like shared common ground kind of thing that I've observed is when we discuss AI and the future of AI, and you're talking to another Bitcoiner about it, it's not even like a question. What type of money do you think this AI would prefer, right? Do you think it would prefer the money that can be turned on and off, that is just a number in a database that the operator of the AI or the bank or the government or the whoever can just turn off? Or do you think you'd prefer centralized, peer-to-peer, unstoppable, uncensorable cash? You know, it's not even a question, right?
This is such a cool topic. Not only what money would it prefer, but what infrastructure does it want to build on is really the question, right? Like, let's say that the AI has their own crazy economic financial system that only they can develop and understand, and we mere humans will never be able to possibly comprehend it. But what economic infrastructure are they going to build that on? Some centralized human-made shitcoin? No, they're going to build it on Bitcoin. And that is really the unlock of that Bitcoin is not just a money, but it's also a network and a platform and a whole technology stack that no one really understands. And it's just so inspiring.
Some of the AI stories about with Bitcoin are getting a little bit crazy these days. Like some of the, like the OpenClaw like agents and stuff like that. Like, you know, because it's almost not even just like a, you know, can this be turned off or not be turned off? It's like, hey, I'm going to give this to you. It's now yours, right? Like you have control of it. Now go do what you're going to do, you know, AI robot or whatever you are. And they're able to like almost grasp that like inherently and understand the keys and understand how to send it and use it as a tool. Right. As a tool to build, as a tool to research, as a tool to do, perform the tasks that you assign them. It's really, I mean, it's what money was always meant to be, right?
I'm looking forward to the time where I can like plug a brain into my car, you know, and it can go drive around, you know, be a taxi, collect the Bitcoin. It goes right to my wallet, right? My car's just working for me because I tell it to. And then when it needs an oil change, I don't have to go drive to the oil change place. It can go get the oil change and pay for it itself. You know, I imagine this is you need something like Bitcoin for that to be possible, to like utilize the AI and bridge it into the real world and have it like do economic physical tasks for you with the robot, right?
Yeah, and blockchains don't scale and centralized databases don't scale, but the Lightning Network does. And if we're going to have trillions of transactions a second, there's no other monetary infrastructure that AIs can use. It's just like full stop. But on the topic of AI, I do think that it relates to Bitcoin meetups more generally, because I don't know if you guys listen to Bitcoin Audible at all, but Guy Swan did a read really recently called Poe's Laws Comes into Full Flower. Did any of you guys listen to that one by chance?
Not yet.
It's in my queue, actually. I haven't heard it yet.
Highly recommend. I might spoil it a little bit here, but the TLDR on this is if you lose the ability to trust anything, AI comes in, they're creating videos, they're creating deep fakes, they're creating news stories. You don't know what's real or fake anymore. That's now. That's here. The recent models, the Nano Banana, there was another one, Sora or something recently. Like, you cannot tell what's real and what's fake anymore. What's going to happen? What are we going to do? If you can't trust a voice, a Zoom call, a phone call, you just stop. All of humanity just stops believing what they see on their screens, and the world gets small again. So now I'm quoting from the actual article. You trust what you see with your own eyes. Businesses move to highly protected, verified networks. So the real high trust, that's going to be the face-to-face, the IRL, the hands that get shaken, the eyes that get looked into, and people once more do business directly with other people. And we're social animals. We want to be around each other. We want FaceTime. We want lunch, talking, body language, having a drink, communicating over in person. And what does this mean? What does this future of we can't trust anything anymore? Don't trust Verify. Going to Bitcoin meetups are going to be the only space where you can trust someone to teach you about Bitcoin. There'll be these webs of trust that us right now are building right before AI fundamentally undermines our ability to trust anything on online transactions, right? These friendships, the networking of like-minded people, this is going to be the only way to move forward with Bitcoin. And I think that that is highly underrated. And what you guys are doing with this podcast is especially foundational for building those webs of trust in the future.
More meetups. That's what we want. I want more meetups.
Well, and so have you noticed the any economic activity happening from the relationships that get built at the meetup? In my area, in the meetups that I go to, this is like what it's become about, man, is like, how can we build now? Like, we know each other, we trust each other, we know what skills and aptitudes and resources we all have. Like, what can we do with that shit? And we start working together.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that type of camaraderie going on. People are talking about what they're building, you know, cool things that they think would be, you know, a place for something in the market. We also have, you know, Rob from Bitcoin News. He's a member of our meetup. Hopefully I didn't dox him, and he's always, you know, as a developer, I can always tell him like, oh, I'm thinking about building this cool thing, or maybe I even approached him one time, like, you know, I'm a developer, but it feels like everything cool is already built and I don't know what to build. And he comes out with like a laundry list of things to build and offers, you know, to tweet it from his large account. It's just, you're not going to get that level of cooperation and support, like maybe with friends you've known for basically your whole life. But like at a Bitcoin meetup, it's almost like speed running, right? You still have to be a little hesitant, like when you just meet somebody, you don't know who they are, what their intentions are. But after a couple meetups, you know, having some beers together, and if you don't drink, that's cool too, just hanging out. You know, I back to GC, sorry to go on a tangent here, but what GC was saying before about like, you know, like bars and taverns, like America was founded essentially by people meeting in bars and taverns and talking about new ideas. And so I just think, you know, even if you're not a drinker, I just think it's like a magical environment.
Yeah, to your point, Rev, maybe it's just a Northeast thing, but no one makes syrup here and no one wants to spend their sats. And it's highly disappointing and definitely a point of failure for us as meetup organizers that we don't have more circular economies going. But people here are like accountants and software developers. Like it's really hard to sell and share services. So I think maybe that's just a factor of where we live. But I wish there was more of that.
Although we have had somebody in the Telegram asking for the past few weeks, they want a Bitcoin butcher. So if you if you know an awesome butcher out there that accepts Bitcoin, hit us up on jerseycitybitcoin.com. We'll buy some steaks.
Well, and you said that you know, people come from an hour or more away a lot of times. Now, I don't know an hour or more away from Jersey City what you can find, but that's a pretty big range. And like I travel an hour to 2 hours, sometimes 2.5 hours to a meetup, but that's because I know I've got a good or service that's valuable to that group and I can get my gas money back at least by selling a thing or two. Mm-hmm. And so there's a place in Chicago, I think they're calling it the Bitcoin Collective. I don't know if I got that right or not, but they're creating like a co-work space, kind of like Bitcoin Park in Nashville, but the Chicago version of it. I think there's a place called The Space in Denver, which is similar. And so these kinds of spaces create gravity for people to come from far away and bring their shit. But when you have somebody still willing to drive an hour or two away, it's like, what do they have access to in that area? And do the people at the meetup want that thing? Cause you can spend your fiat on a thing, like a fancy brewery has some beers that you can't get, or I don't know what it could be. And they go buy that stuff. They take the pre-orders and bring it to the meetup, and then they sell it for sats. And they just basically DCA or buy Bitcoin through selling a good or service to the meetup, which then it moves the sats around and it gets the economy started, right? The bridge from fiat into the Bitcoin land, into Bitcoin world, whatever.
No, yeah. I went to Vegas this past Bitcoin conference in Vegas, and another person from our community was there, and I didn't have, you know, I was light on money, like actual fiat, right? And so essentially my option was hit an ATM in a casino, which is going to rip me off, or ask my friend, hey, do you want to like stack some sats, right? Because it's like you're buying Bitcoin. It's like I'm using an ATM, no fees, and we made that happen. So that's, you know, it's not the traditional idea of like buying stuff or a circular economy or whatever, but it served a purpose for all of he was actually up. He had won money in the casino. So it's like he's taking some of his profits and buying Bitcoin. I'm getting some money to gamble that, you know, I promptly lost and whatever. But it served the purpose, and I didn't have to pay some rent seeking ATM owner, you know, $10.
Have you guys ever played the credit card game at the restaurant or something with your friends, where you go and buy, everyone just like buys whatever they want, and then you throw all your credit cards into the hat, and the one that gets picked out buys the dinner, right? But if they buy the dinner and you're paying them back sats, it's like you're the one who wants your card to get picked, because now you just stacked a bunch of KYC free Bitcoin from all your friends locally. You know, and so you guys can do shit like that. I mean, even cash trades, people, I much prefer, I avoid selling my Bitcoin back on the exchange. If I need fiat, I'm going to go to my local community first, you know, and there's a lot of people that want the opportunity to buy Bitcoin with cash. And so meetups are a great opportunity for those kinds of trades to start to happen. Once again, because you spend a lot of time with these people, you meet up with them month after month for years. And so there's a high level of trust there where you can feel comfortable going to this, and you're around a bunch of other people and the trade happens. You don't have to necessarily do it right in front of everyone, but you know, there's people around. It feels safe to me.
I have to agree with you. You know, one thing that I've seen, you know, in our community and others is online impersonation. So like, yeah, you trust, you know, you trust the people in the community, but how do you, you know, on the internet, it's not that hard to make a Telegram handle and make it look like exactly like someone else or whatever. And so I think that it's probably smarter, you know, to do things face to face with someone you've known for years or months, you know, smarter than just using the internet to source that. So.
Yeah, if I could emphasize that point, I think everyone who's running a Bitcoin meetup or will run a Bitcoin meetup, you will face someone getting scammed. And so you have to know how to be prepared. And just being proactive about it, I literally print out sheets of paper and hand them to new members at our drinking meetup. Because if there is a scammer afoot, they know that we're serious and we're educating our community to not fall for their tricks. And so... yeah, I can't emphasize that more enough. Just make it a point to say it, to put in your handouts, and just to make it a habit. Because honestly, scams are everywhere. It's not just Bitcoin. It's AI. It's texts. It's everything. So people should just be aware of what AI is now capable of.
Yeah, and it may not even be a member of your community, right? If your meetup grows to a certain size, there's going to be people in God knows what third world country hopping in there, lingering, watching the dynamic, figuring out who to pretend to be. And you, of course, you know, you could also have people in the community doing it too. You don't know, but GC's right. You need to be vigilant for these things, you know, definitely set the tone that, you know, we're watching out for this. We had someone ask, and by the way, I don't think it was malicious. I don't think it was a scam, But I think we had someone ask, you know, they wanted to trade stables for Bitcoin. And we took a hard line stance on that. And we kicked them out of the group.
It was weird. It was weird.
Are you guys talking in the group chats?
Yeah.
Like, so they'll come to the meetup, listen around, then pretend to be some, they'll get in the group chat, then they'll pretend to be someone in the group chat and try and scam them online.
So yep. we don't know, and that's why we've changed. So another best practice that we've learned, and you guys can chime in, is that we only let people in the Telegram in person. We're admins to the group. You have to scan a QR code at an actual meetup. I have to actually meet you and then know who you are, because that way that won't happen. Or who knows if it's someone who just joins the meetup randomly. So a good bridge and transition to that is marketing, in that I wish we did a little bit more, but I kind of like that we're a little bit undercover. Bitcoiners know that there are Bitcoin meetups, and we don't want to be too loud about it. I think for the Socratic seminar, it's important to market to our local community, but the online just blasting out, hey, we're Bitcoiners, this is where we are, it's a fine line to walk.
Yeah. Because when Bitcoin is skyrocketing, and you know, even though it's down a little bit now, it's still $67,000 of Bitcoin, right? People see that, they see dollar signs. Not everyone is a good person. And you just need to be watchful. Like, another rule that we kind of have, it's not like the hardest of rules, but no solicitation, right? Like, if you come to a Socratic seminar and you talk about something, that's cool. But I'm not going to have you up on that stage soliciting an investment, right? If you want to do that on the side, that's cool. It's kind of like our shitcoin rule, right? We focus on Bitcoin, no shitcoins. But if someone mentions a shitcoin once or twice, you know, it's fine. We'll just kind of remind them to refocus.
Yeah, we learned that scammer thing too, about the like, we have a Telegram chat for the group, and we had impersonators starting to come in, and we switched exactly to what you said, GC. We took it down. We had our Telegram link posted on like our meetup.com page, took that down, and then we kicked out the scammers or whatever, and then we haven't had a single problem since. So I think that's a good thing to keep in mind. And the other thing I started thinking about, I started thinking about it like as I started my meetup. But I try to remind people every once in a while, like we've talked about, like, Bitcoin isn't necessarily the only community that has these types of risks. I mean, anytime you're going out in person with anything, but especially if it's associated with money, right? Like you said about when the price goes up, we actually heard some stories in our meetup group about how this happens to like gamblers. People will hang out outside the casinos or outside the where you're playing your poker game. And hey, if they saw you win big and you're walking out of there, you know, there's some security things that you should be aware of. So we try to emphasize secure, like there are some secure, like some regular, just standard kind of OPSEC type things that we try to just, not everybody thinks about that when they go to a meetup. So.
You reminded me of another best practice that I kind of, this was probably a shower thought, but in order to build up proof of work, so when someone joins your meetup, like they scan the QR code, if you're a meetup organizer, you should be shooting them a DM and being like, hey, welcome to the club. Build up a little proof of work so that they don't think that, like, when a scammer does message them, it won't be you, because they'll know, they'll have no chat history. So building up a chat history with the people in your group is I think something that I've also learned is good to discern if it's a scammer or not.
This is really just a problem with Telegram from my experience.
Yeah. And they make it way too easy. So
we've migrated a lot of our chats, our group chats, to Signal for that reason. But it's, if you have a good Telegram channel, like the Grand Rapids meetup Telegram channel is amazing, dude. There's like 100 to 200 people, I don't know exactly, but there's a bunch of people in there. They're active. It's like the Bitcoin meetup is continuing on after the meetup. There's, you know, you're sharing your memes, you're sharing your links to news stories and podcasts and whatever. People are asking questions. It's great. But those meetups, the Telegram one, like, so you don't want to sacrifice the Telegram one just to switch over to Signal. So we've been slowly doing it, right? encouraging people to try and engage more on Signal and use the Telegram less. And it's been working, but it's a process. We've been probably trying this transition for over a year now.
Wow. Yeah, we briefly used something called like OX chat, which is like built on Noster. And there was like some pain points there, but it's been probably over a year. It might be a lot better now. To your point, you know, it kind of sucks to abandon a chat room that you've been building for years. I don't know. I would just encourage people, you know, to think of Telegram as not safe. Don't try. Like, I've known GC for years, but I will, you know, sometimes I'll like double, triple check that this is the same conversation I've had with him. Recently, there's been this story going around about people impersonating people who run meetups, or I'm sorry, podcasts, and like sending a malicious Zoom link. And I asked GC today, like, hey, you know these guys, right? And he's like, yeah. So I don't think you can be too cautious. And like, for example, there's a number of other Telegrams I use for stuff that I like BTC Pay Server or whatever. And you just got to know that, like, when you post in there for help, you're going to get impersonators. 1,000,000% instantly ban them or block them. You know, don't feel bad about ignoring DMs. I'll tell people straight up, don't reply in a DM. Just talk to me here in this chat where we can all see.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing that we really encourage is like, you know, like when people DM me and they're asking for shit or asking about, you know, I'm just like, we could just have this conversation in the chat. We don't have to do this in DM. There's no information that we need to keep private here. I'm happy keeping it out in the open. It's like you have to educate your group about Telegram, if you're going to use Telegram, and it takes some work, but Telegram is really effective. I feel like it's a good platform.
Yeah, no, I do like it. And if anyone listening is, I know we've been talking about, you know, scam prevention for a while here. OPSEC is obviously always a core aspect of Bitcoiners, and a lot of people don't want to be famous or known. They just want to be rich and unknown. And so this was a big point for me as a meetup organizer, right? I was going back and forth. Do I want to jump on a podcast? Do I want to host a meetup? Do I want to join regularly? And I thought about this for a long time and ultimately decided to pursue Bitcoin because there's this one quote that really stands out to me, and that it's a ship in the harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. And it's one of those things, like, if you want to make a change in the world, if you want to actually contribute and do things, like, there's risk to everything, but that's what it's all about, man. That's what we're here for. So it's worth it.
Hell yeah. I because we were talking about platforms here a minute ago, with Telegram versus Signal and stuff like that. I know you guys, you were talking about Eventbrite and you were talking about, some of the other platforms that you've hosted on. I think I saw on your meetup, you guys are on Luma now. How's that journey been? What's your feedback like being off of meetup.com?
So we still try to have all of the main ones because honestly, we get two or three new people from Meetup every month that just find us organically. So having a Meetup, having an Eventbrite, having those things, even if you don't really use them or post them, is still good because we've had people, I ask every time a new person comes, where did you hear from us? And a lot of times there's these weird New York groups that just like pull like organically. I don't know if there's an API or something. It probably pulls from Meetup into their platform, you know? So that's really a good way to get discovered, I think. But I think that PubKey moved to Luma only too. You might have to fact check me on that. But Freedom Lab in New York also moved to Luma only. A lot of these platforms, it's just the UX is great. I mean, Satlantis obviously is definitely something we could think about using too. But Luma, we've only had great experiences with. And I like it a lot.
Plus, it's free.
Yeah, and I think it even will text people to remind them or do push notifications or whatever. So it's just And I know for myself, when we first got on meetup.com, it just like spammed me a ton of things. I probably instantly turned it off. So that's probably what end users are doing too. I remember like very early in the meetup, there was a woman who came, which is kind of, you know, most people who come are not women. We always happy to have more women in Bitcoin at meetups, right? But one came and I asked her how she heard about us. And she just found us on meetup.com. And not that this is really relevant, but I remember she mentioned she was like a Jehovah's Witness. I was like, man, this is just like so interesting. Like I would never, meetup brought you here. And now I get to try to orange pill you. You know,
how Luma, the tables have turned.
Yeah. Luma's definitely a good platform, probably the best platform, but I think being on all of them has been good for us. And like meetup.com, I think you have to pay. And the guys who run the South Jersey Bitcoin meetup who regularly come to ours, it blows my mind that they drive over an hour to come. But there's three or four guys that come from South Jersey, which is like an hour and a half. Because, you know, if you don't geographically know New Jersey. But we work out a little arrangement there. I made a deal with him. He pays for meetup.com for some other reason. And he pays for us to be on there. And similarly, some other people in our meetup, I don't have a Orange Pill app subscription, but other people in our community do, and they post on there for us. So that's kind of a bit of a circular economy as I see it, you know, to share any platform you may have access to promote your local meetup, even if you're not, you know, the person who started or whatever.
And just always going to BitDevs and shilling Jersey City every time where people just know who we are because so going to other meetups and shilling your own is also a great way to get people out.
Yeah, I remember when we had like just kind of started, I don't think we had a website yet. We only had the meetup.com page. And I guess you go around the room, you introduce yourself or you ask a question and they hand you a microphone or whatever. And I think GC had mentioned, you know, the Jersey City meetup. I don't know if I had ever done it at BitDevs. And they pulled up our thing in the room for probably like 50 people. And that was like silly, but I was like, oh, man, it's like a milestone looking back on it, you know?
Yeah, our number one, it's not even close. Our discoverability, like where new people hear of us, it's not even close. It's word of mouth. Mm-hmm. You know, that's... Yes, definitely. We have had people come in organically, like who found us on meetup.com or found us on other places. We've had some people find us from Orange Pill app. We had a couple people find us from Noster. But, you know, it's those are the exceptions, to be honest. Most people, it's word of mouth. So before we transition maybe to like the last part of the show here, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you guys about. So I was browsing your socials and I saw you guys started like a library or a book sharing program or something like that. I thought that was like such a good idea. And like, you know, I've got like all these books behind me, like a bunch of us at the meetup. We all have all these books. I'd love to hear like what, like how are you guys running that? Like, are you just asking people to bring in books or how does that work?
So this was started by one of our members who literally he just came up with the idea and he was like, hey, I have an idea for the meetup because I would post in the group. I'd be like, please, if anyone wants to present something, please, we want you up. And he was like, I have all of the books and I would love to start like a mini book club. So I have my the Book of Satoshi right here, which is his, just loaning it for a month. And he's basically the only one doing the library right now where it's like, every month, you know, just bring the book back. And I just thought it was such a cool idea. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, I remember when he came up with the idea, I was like, oh, you might want to like take a deposit, maybe just like some
sacks. I know, that's what I was thinking too.
But it's gone well so far. He was completely like, nah, it's fine. Because, you know, there is that shared, it's just, there's just so much, you know, it's, I'm not going to do someone dirty like that and steal their book. So it hasn't been a problem and hopefully it continues to go well, but he's the man. He's the man for doing that. Shout out.
Yeah, that's cool. Plus, I mean, it gives them an excuse. Like now they have, if they're worried about stealing your book, right? They have to come back the next month so exactly. They can return it. Yeah, I know. No, that's a great idea.
Oh, that is a good point. oh, we just give out books to people, and then they'll be like, oh, shoot, I have to go to the meetup to bring it back. Oh, man, I didn't even think of it. I'm writing this one down. Thanks, Reed.
Reed and I, last episode, kind of talked about what is the incentive to drive the regulars to keep coming, you know, because Reed was talking about the social meetups weren't as popular, and once he switched to education, then the people really started to show up and come back. And I've noticed that, you know, people don't come back for one reason or another. So you have to come up with a reason, or it's the meetup gets so much better when there's all these incentives, this value that someone gets. And then I guess in this instance, the obligation to return and you have to hang out again.
So I guess with that, maybe we'll transition here to the next part of the show, which is, I guess first to say, so we are, a podcast. We're streaming on, podcasting 2.0 platforms, which means that people can boost us sats or stream us sats. I'm incredibly grateful to the outpouring of support that we got for our first episode. So thank you so much to everybody who contributed to the show and boosted. And so we're going to kind of make sure that we always prioritize having some time here at the end to read off some of the boosts. So I think, Rev, you got those queued up. You want to start reading some of them off?
Yeah, and before I do, shill the Jersey City meetup again. Just let us know the details, where you can find it, what when it's happening, what's the next one. Let us know.
JerseyCityBitcoin.com is where you can find us. And then we also have a Twitter, Jersey City Bitcoin. And so, you know, stop by. We have a contact form on the website. The email comes to me. A few of us run the Twitter, so just reach out and yes. come out to an event.
Second and third Thursday of the month. So if I'm looking, Feb and March are the same. So the 12th, the 19th, and then March is also going to be the 12th and the 19th.
And where are those at?
Good question. The drinking meetup is at a place called Zeppelin Hall, big German beer garden. And the Socratic seminar is very close by at the Barrow Mansion.
All right, sweet. So yeah, if you're near those locations, or maybe even an hour to 2 hours away, check it out. They got a lot of good shit going on. It's a great meetup. So we got some boosts. And the first one is a good friend comes to a lot of the Michigan meetups, Pleb to Polymath. And he's talking about the Indianapolis meetup. So this is the Indianapolis Bitcoin meetup, third Wednesday of the month at a new venue. It's going to be at Keystone Sports Review on 71st and Keystone, 218, 7 and 9 p.m. That's their usual date of their usual cadence there. And they have an upstairs area that they'll have. It's private. You'll have it to yourselves with its own bar. And Pleb to Polymath is also talking about his meetup, which is the Marion Bitcoin meetup, the first Wednesday of each month, 6 to 8 p.m. at Obie's Barbecue in Marion, Indiana. And so, dude, Pleb to Polymath is like a great example of somebody who just, I met him at Lake Satoshi a few years ago, and he wasn't running a meetup, he wasn't doing anything, but he's like, dude, I'm starving for interaction with Bitcoin. And so he started going to the Indy meetup. And then he's like, dude, I don't want to drive so far. Why don't I just make a meetup in my own town? And so now he's doing that. And he's still traveling to all these other meetups. And he's participating in the circular economy. He's just a shining example of, like, once you get the first meetup under your belt and you start to get that taste of blood, you know, you keep going to more. The next one is anonymous. And this is for the Midwest Bitcoin Summit. It's September 23rd to 24th. It's the largest Bitcoin meetup for Bitcoin meetups from all across the Midwest. The Midwest Bitcoin Summit will host four stages: business hall, VIP lounge, expo hall, Bitcoin only, Pure Signal. Get your tickets. There's a link in the boost. So if you guys click on the show, you'll see their boost down there. You can find the link. So there's a ton. I had never heard of this this conference or whatever, the summit, but a friend of mine, Fundamentals, was a speaker on there, And I'd noticed that there was a bunch of other speakers that I had met in person. I'm like, so I asked Fundamentals. I was like, dude, what's the deal with this? He's like, it's going to be an amazing conference. You should go. So Ben Workman, he's been to the Grand Rapids meetup as one of the speakers. Timothy Niemeyer from the Illinois Bitcoin Council, Lincolnland meetup. He's also written a book, History Echoes Bitcoin, is going to be there. Shane Hazel from Bitcoin Veterans. And the Bitcoin Veterans is like, have you guys heard of the Bitcoin Veterans?
Yeah, I have.
They're doing like amazing stuff, man. I really like what Bitcoin Veterans is doing. So there's going to be someone from there. The Seed Signer is going to be there. Stacy, who has the Bitcoin Nova podcast, I just met her at the Elmhurst, Illinois meetup. And she's doing stuff with Bitcoin Army on Twitter. She's going to be there. There's just like the list goes on and on of all these people that I've met in person that are going to be at this Midwest Bitcoin Summit. But I don't know anything about it. I've never heard about it until this boost.
I was checking out their website. I was kind of blown away at the number of speakers that they had. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I think I was telling you actually, after we had a little conversation about it after the boost came in, but I was like checking out flights. I don't know. It sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Bart and G from Grassroots are going to be there. Amber Harris from the Michigan Bitcoin Council. Amber Harris is like a super active participant in the meetups here. She's been to all of them, really trying to make Bitcoin better. So it just sounds like a lot of people who are really doing stuff. Brian Hirschfield, that's Fundamentals. He's going to be speaking there. Tons of people. It sounds cool. Okay, so the next one is from Matthew D. He's from the Ann Arbor meetup in Michigan. And he's got Ann Arbor meetup will be the last Tuesday of the month. So every last Tuesday of the month, the Ann Arbor meetup happens. This next one is going to be February 24th from 6 to 8 p.m. At the 4M in Ann Arbor. And he's also, I buy soap and tallow from Matthew. He's got a company called White Paper Soap. And so I get to, instead of having to buy from Soap Miner on Noster or whatever, I can just go to my local soap guy, right, from Ann Arbor. And he ends up crossing paths with me at Grand Rapids. So I buy soap and tallow bomb from him. It's great stuff. The next one is from Mark Catt. And he just said, you know, you guys inspired me to start my meetup again at a business that actually accepts Bitcoin. And then he asks about, have we used Plectos, which is Derek Ross's event app. Have you guys heard of Plectos?
I was just checking it out. I hadn't heard of it. So that's, you know, we were talking a little bit before about event apps, right? It seems like there is sort of an explosion of apps that are coming out because meetup.com is not the best and it costs a lot of money. So I think there's a big
Plectos,
need.
Man, is like Plectos will be interactive with Satlantis because they're both on Noster and they're using the same NIP, right? The same events NIP. And there is another one called Flockster that I've used as well. But the events all show up on all of them. So if you create an event on Plectos, it will be available on Satlantis and Flockster. And that's the cool thing about Noster. So Plectos is Derek's app. I think that it's using Noster as a way to market your meetup. You're going to get like real good, high quality Bitcoiners that come from that. But there's not, it's maybe in a higher population density like you guys are in, it's going to be more useful. It sounds like meetup.com has been really useful because of the high population density, whereas meetup.com has been like a waste of money in my area because it's more rural. But anyways, Plectos is cool. I use it. I can't say that anyone showed up from it yet, but you know, why
it's
not?
Another place to post, right? Especially if it's going to start showing up across multiple apps, you kind of get better bang for your buck.
Yeah, and Mark, when you do finally start your meetup again, let us know, the boost us again. You know, and people, you just boost whatever. You don't boost 21 sats. I don't care. Just put a boost in there, and we'll read it off. You know, so we'll boost your meetup once that's going. We'll let everyone know about it. The next one's for anonymous. Check out the Columbia, South Carolina Bitcoin meetup on Saturday, February 21st, Savage Craft Ale Works. West Columbia, South Carolina. They meet from 3 to 5 p.m., usually on the rooftop, and once a month. So it should be at that same cadence, third Thursday. They're no longer on meetup.com. They don't want to pay the monthly subscription. I don't blame them. They're using Luma, so you can find them on Luma. And so I was going to ask your guys thoughts on Luma, and I guess you're using it, so it sounds like a pretty good one to go for as well.
Yeah, I love it. The UX is great. It's like the partyful for meetups. And James mentioned before, even if you don't have the app, you still get the text. So I just think that the way they figured it out, the way that then push notifications and everything is really slick. I'm a fan.
So, and this is a way, this boost came in anonymously. And so a lot of people have had trouble boosting on Fountain, or they don't want to use the Fountain wallet or whatever. There may be, I don't know. This is a one way you can use Fountain to boost anonymously. You click the Fountain link to the show, you click comment, and then you click add boost amount, add your comment, and then you pay the Lightning invoice. And so you can boost anonymously. If you're worried about doxing yourself or whatever, you can boost your meetup anonymously on Fountain by following that process. You click the link, click the comment, add your boost, add your comment, and now you've boosted it anonymously. You don't have to worry about doxing anybody or using your own Lightning wallet. Next one comes from Wartime. He just boosted us some emojis, but Wartime's this guy is boosting every podcast out there that I listen to, at least. He's a big Value supporter and Noster lover, so I wanted to give him a shout out. And so the next one's an Illinois meetup from Tom. He started the North Chicago Bitcoin meetup in Long Grove. They meet the first Saturday of each month at Joni's Pizza, 11:30 to 2 p.m. The first meetup was in November 23. It's grown a lot since then. He collaborates a lot with the other Illinois people, the Illinois Bitcoin Council. Tom is in a bunch of Signal chats that I'm in. I haven't made it to that meetup yet because it's in the morning. I can't get out, but come check it out. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in Illinois. Next one comes from SourceNode. And SourceNode was a person who had trouble boosting on Fountain, but he hit me up on Noster, so I'll put it in here. Burgers and Bitcoin meetup at 2 on 221 at Steak and Shake in Greenville, South Carolina. And SourceNode works with Sovereign. Do you guys, have you ever heard of the company Sovereign?
No.
There's a couple.
This is like they spell it weird without an extra E. There's like one E missing from it or something. But they're a company that helps businesses start to accept Bitcoin. They like hold your hand and advise you through that process. And so Brandon Karpeles, who goes to the Chicago BitDevs meetup, he works at Sovereign, and he's got a really cool podcast called the Bitcoin Business Podcast. Anyways, Sovereign's all right. SourceNode wanted. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, for reference, so it's SOVREIGN.io. So Sovereign.io.
Yeah, they'll get you a business set up accepting Bitcoin. The next one's from Otis Bittmeyer. He's thankful for the Southwest Michigan meetup, which is the meetup closest to my place, the Southwest Michigan meetup. That's in Benton Harbor, the third Thursday of each month. At Dweller's Co-Working Space, 6:30 p.m. This is a meetup that feels like a lot what you guys were talking about, where it's like you feel like you're in the back corner of the bar and you're coming up with the ideas that are going to like create this is the beginning of the revolution, you know. That meetup, those kinds of conversations are really what happens there. He says that he leaves inspired to continue building the world he wants to see by attending that meetup. And so Otis Bittmeyer also has this really cool podcast called Sound Coffee, and that's with Fundamentals as well. And this is Otis Bittmeyer he roasts coffee, and right now he's roasting coffee with solar power, which is fucking cool. And he roasts the coffee, and then he sells it in his coffee club for Bitcoin only, and he denominates the price in coffee in sats. And I've been drinking that coffee for years, like over a year now. It's the best coffee, and I pay in Bitcoin for it every month. Next one we got is Tam Tam. This is the first boost for a meetup outside the United States. Everyone who's not in the USA, we'll promote, you know, we'll talk about your meetup too. We want meetups to grow everywhere. This one's for Bitcoin Beach, Bournemouth, every third Thursday of the month. The next meetup is Thursday, February 19th. There's going to be a little clinic at the beginning for one-on-one help, learning about Bitcoin. Then social starts at 7:30 p.m. It's at the Cog Room at Modern Times Restaurant in Chaplain's Bar, 529 Church Street Road, Bournemouth, BH1 4AG. That is gobbledygook to me, but you can find that information once you click on the episode and go read that. He says, bring your sats to spend. The venue accepts Lightning payments. Badass. That sounds like a great meetup. You can go and pay in Bitcoin, and you get some help if you want to learn. And to round it out, I just want to thank the other people who aren't necessarily promoting a meetup but sent us a boost. Thanks to Jer, Shadrach. Shadrach's got a really cool thing going on. He's been on a bunch of podcasts recently called A to B, where he's trying to take we have like an issue where the Bitcoin meetups are a diaspora, right? And we're all sort of trying to build a circular economy, but there's not enough people to support a diverse, it starts off with food because everyone needs food, and you can do that in a small area. But sometimes you produce too much food, but the people in Indianapolis, they want the food, but they're not producing the food. So how can we get the food to Indianapolis and still keep it Bitcoin only? Well, Shadrach's A to B thing is kind of trying to bridge these gaps with creating incentives for people to take goods and service, or well, goods from one meetup or bubble economy area to another. Avi Burra from Plebchain Radio. Avi's been doing so much cool stuff. He's a big Noster dude. Thanks for the boost, Avi. Kirk, Nick Malister, and Bullish Clips.
Shout out Bullish real quick. So Bullish also, he runs a website, takemysats.com. And it's a platform for other Bitcoiners to post their stuff for sale. And it's really easy to set up. I actually set it up for a couple of things that I make and sell for sats. It's super cheap. He runs it. It's very clean interface. So definitely shout out Bullish.
Dude, all the support that we got from this first episode is really encouraging, man. There's a lot of, you know, this is just the beginning. Look at how many Bitcoin meetups are out there. If you think that there's not a Bitcoin meetup in your area, there probably is one. You just got to do some digging to find it. We're working on trying to make it more accessible.
And if there's not, you should start one.
Totally. Totally agree. Have you guys ever heard of the Philly John, I think it's called, or John Philly? It's the Philly area meetup. I think Evan Kaloudis attends it, who makes Zeus Wallet, if you're familiar with that. But it's a pretty big, solid community. I've never been, but I heard that they do it in like a big Chinese banquet hall place, which kind of is just hilarious to me. But if it works, it works.
Definitely go to the Philly John meetup. I don't know the frequency or cadency. If you organize the Philly John meetup and you want to let us know, send us a boost.
This has been such a pleasure, guys. The support, that was like, it's like 17 minutes of boosts. That was incredible. You guys are killing it. Very honored to be a part of this movement that you guys are starting. And yeah, just can't thank you enough.
Yeah. Thank you for, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having us on. It's thank you, Rev and Reed. You know, connecting about our meetups and discussing it and encouraging others to attend or start their own meetup. It's great.
Yeah, Rev and I, we're just trying to do our small part here, right? We're trying to get the word out, you know, for one thing, but then also trying to remind people that, you know, running a Bitcoin meetup, this doesn't have to be rocket science. It's probably a lot easier than you think to get started, so if there isn't one in your area, or you've been kind of toying with the idea of starting a meetup, strongly encourage you to do that. And, you know, hopefully this episode and hearing more about Jersey City, what you guys are working on, you know, hopefully that'll kind of emphasize to people like all the awesome benefits that you get out of starting and running a Bitcoin meetup. So yeah, definitely thank you guys for coming on. I was really glad that we had you guys showing up here for our to be our first guests. And yeah, I hope everybody enjoys hearing about, you know, what you guys got going on. I know I got a lot out of this. So definitely thanks to you guys for coming on.
It's a pleasure. And just one to drive it home. A lot of these things are open source. I remember when we first wanted to do our educational stuff, we were like, well, what are we going to talk about? Almost every meetup out there that does educational stuff is open sourcing it. So that's just to really drive it home that you can do this.
Actually, that's a really good point. I wanted to bring it up before when GC was like, oh, we ripped off your slides, Reed. I mean, you didn't rip them off because I open sourced them all. So in the show notes, there'll be a link to a GitHub page that I started where I'm trying to collect as much stuff as I can. I'm trying to keep it organized. There's just been a flood of stuff that continues to come in. So I'm going to be working on hopefully ways to get that organized and make it easier for people to, if you're looking for a topic to cover at your meetup, you can just kind of pick one off of a list and see what other people did, or, you know, grab a one slide overview of a topic or something like that. So, yeah, check the link out in the show notes for that. And I'll be collecting from you guys too, all of your meetup. I have your website and stuff like that, but anything else that you guys want to put in the show notes, just let me know.
So go find your local Bitcoin meetup. And if there isn't one, start one. Find your local Bitcoiners.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Thank you.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Contact info is in the show notes. And as always, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.